Welcome to the Citizens for Health radio show on Building Fortunes Radio with your hosts Jim Turner and Peter Mingles. Make sure you check us out by clicking on the Citizens for Health radio show link on buildingfortunesradio.com. That's www.buildingfortunesradio.com. Citizens for Health provides over 100,000 supporters with consumer news, action alerts, and opportunities to take action. For nearly two decades, Citizens for Health has been a nonprofit pioneer in the natural health freedom movement. The Citizens for Health Education Foundation offers tools to inform the public of health issues and educate and influence policymakers. Jim Turner is here to spread the word about some of the most interesting topics that can affect your world. From the dangers of mislabeled or dangerous products to the questions and concerns of vaccines, you'll want to listen to Jim as he speaks on behalf of Citizens for Health. And now, on to our show with Jim Turner and Peter Mingles. Take it away, Peter.
Hello, everyone. Peter Mingles here. You're listening to us on a Friday. It's noon Eastern time. We are on the Citizens for Health radio show. That introduction will be replaced eventually. Jim Turner was the original person that did Citizens for Health radio show and found it was actually, he joined Citizens for Health in 1993. I remember that. Wrote a book called The Chemical Feast. I remember that. Was one of the original Ralph Nader Raiders and passed away about 2 years plus ago. And we just haven't replaced the introduction yet. And sentimentally, I'm going to leave it alone for just a little bit. You know, we got millions of other things to do, so we'll prioritize that maybe at a different spot. However, I was talking to people from Citizens for Health, which is, by the way, the organization. Citizens.org is the website. And I've been speaking with them throughout this time and said, I'm going to run replays all this time because Jim's stuff was so great. But, you know, please come back. You guys always have some really wonderful information that is just something that we need to hear in our Building Fortunes radio listening audience. So James Gormley is spelled G-O-R-M-L-E-Y. So James is the president of Citizens for Health. And I asked him to take over, and he does grace us his presence as many times as he possibly can live when he's not busy doing other things. And today he's live. We're going to talk about cool stuff on today's radio show. So citizens.org is the website. Citizens for Health is the organization. So James, thanks for being here on your own radio show.
Thank you. Always a pleasure.
Okay, so you wanted to kick it off on this day talking about a book that you wrote. So let's talk a little bit about your book, your background, anything else you want to take it.
Sure. Well, I came out, my sixth book is Health at Gunpoint, the FDA's Silent War Against Health Freedom. Although it came out in 2013, I would say about 99% of the things in it are still applicable today. The various political forces that I discussed, the economic forces, the pharmaceutical forces, along with the medical establishment, problems with mainstream media, and problems with continued attacks and efforts to restrict access to dietary supplements and information about dietary supplements, that continues to this day. In fact, in some ways, it's maybe even, I don't want to say worse, but more insidious, I think, today, because it's not as obvious, but it's still a problem. There's a lot of dirty tricks that the FDA has been engaging in recently. But in terms of the inspiration for the book, the first boss I had in the natural products industry was Frank Murray. He was the editorial director of Better Nutrition magazine. And, well, actually, in those days, it was called Better Nutrition for Today's Living magazine. And I joined his team beginning of 1995. Shortly afterwards, he wound up being offered an opportunity with a group of publications out in California, health publications. And so he wound up, moving on. And then I was offered, I had the opportunity to step up and be the editor of the magazine, which I was for about 8 years. And in that time, I had read Frank Murray's book. He had a book that came out in 1984 called More Than One Slingshot, it was really about how the, I think the subtitle was something along the lines of how the health foods movement is changing America or something like that. But it was, they had a picture of David and Goliath on the cover. So obviously Goliath was big pharma and mainstream medicine. And then, you know, David was the health food, natural products movement. So anyway, yeah, I mean, it basically the natural health movement in the United States came to be as a result of several forces. It was really a perfect storm. First of all, you had the barbaric state of mainstream medicine during the 19th century, which was god-awful. There were widespread problems with public sanitation, food safety, and water purity. And then on the positive side, you had the emergence of health-oriented religious groups, which advocated nutrition, cleanliness, and temperance. And I would say that really helped plant the seeds of health consciousness in the American public. So that was important. Plus, there was some influence from traditional healing from Native American tribes. And there was some influence of the European schools of thought and healing, such as homeopathy and naturopathy. And that sort of came over on the boat, literally, from Europe. So that was all interesting. But, you know, I think one of the things that we think today, I think many people think, and I guess thought originally prior to 95, I thought, oh, the good old days, you know, they didn't have any synthetic food, didn't have any synthetic ingredients. Everything was, you know, came from the farm. Everything was, delicious and clean and safe. But, you know, the reality is that old-time America was a hard-drinking, poor-eating age. I mean, folks then were saddled with deadly poisonous medicine, filth, child labor, contagious disease, poverty, malnutrition. And basically, you had a mainstream medicine that practiced things like bloodletting. You know, they were getting it from all sides, unfortunately. And then patent medicines were laced with mercury. And if people weren't taking patent medicines, they were taking opium. So it really, it was not the idyllic pastoral or idyllic, world that we thought, you know, many people thought it was like that back then. But it really wasn't. I mean, life was simpler, for sure, but it was also much harder, and it was also, I would say, more dangerous, or at least equally dangerous in terms of all the prescription drugs and vaccines that we have today. Do you have any questions, Peter?
All good stuff. All good stuff. So, talk to us about the motivation of why you made this book, and give us the title one more time.
Yeah, the title is Health at Gunpoint, the FDA's Silent War Against Health Freedom. And I said silent war because it wasn't a war that was declared, orally or written down saying we're going to take you on. That is really what has happened since, I would say, the late 1940s, since the Flexner Report in the early 1900s, where the AMA got together with the an early incarnation of the American Medical Association, along with some conventional pharmacies, which were in the minority at that point. Most pharmacies sold patent medicines, but they would sell, more natural tinctures and herbal remedies and things of that nature. But in any case, that came out and caused caused quite a stir, and it led to the closure of many natural health colleges. In terms of, whether we're talking homeopathy, naturopathy. Most of the schools closed down shortly after that report, not immediately, but shortly after that report came out. So that led to a real paradigm shift in medical care or health care in the United States. So basically, you know, I started seeing this when I started working with Better Nutrition Magazine about the, you know, what the FDA has been doing all these years, both starting in the late 1940s with trying to impose restrictions, and then the big battle that the industry had against the FDA that led to the passage of the Hosmer-Proxmire vitamin bill. I think the bill was signed into law by Gerald Ford in 1976, as I recall. And then, naturally, 20 years later, there was another big battle where the FDA was trying to pretty much decimate health foods, natural products, and that led to that the ensuing battle led to the passage of the Dietary Supplement Health and Education Act of 1994. But looking at some of the many of the dastardly tactics that the FDA employed over the decades, from raiding health food stores and, you know, just all of the horrible things that the FDA has done to shut businesses down, cause confusion among consumers, restrict access to high-potency products. They have taken certain products off the market that should never have been taken off. Even if we look at Ephedra, all of the misinformation that came out of that whole thing. You know, Ephedra is a master herb in Chinese medicine. It's a wonderful herb. You know, you just have to take it properly and take a natural product. You know, you don't take a pseudoephedrine in like a high dose. You know, it has to be, you just have to take it the right way and for the right indications. But, you know, it was a combination of some bodybuilders, you know, doing the wrong thing with it and they're doing the wrong thing. And you wound up with, you know, it was tarred and feathered. And then the next thing is it's banned. But, you know, there are other cases of ingredients being banned. We currently, the FDA is currently has its sights on NMN and NAC. There's two ingredients that it's sort of exercising what it calls enforcement discretion, which sort of means we're not going to do anything right at the moment, but we reserve the right to do whatever we want later. So that's the state of affairs. But it was really just all of those battles that kind of got me incensed that all of this had been going on and still is going on in different ways. So that's what inspired me to write the book.
Excellent. Okay, good. Well, let's take a little commercial break. You're listening to James Gormley, the president of Citizens for Health. He also has authored six different books. You can go check them out. And we're going to be right back after this quick commercial break.
You've been listening to the Citizens for Health radio show, brought to you by Citizens for Health on buildingfortunesradio.com with Jim Turner and Peter Mingles. This special segment can be heard again with almost any device by going to buildingfortunesradio.com. That's www.buildingfortunesradio.com. Citizens for Health provides over 100,000 supporters with consumer news, action alerts, and opportunities to take action. You can learn more by going to the website citizens.org. That's www.citizens.org, or through the link to the Citizens for Health show segment on buildingfortunesradio.com. For nearly two decades, Citizens for Health has been a nonprofit pioneer in the natural health freedom movement. Our special guest, Jim Turner, has an extensive background as an attorney and is one of our favorite experts on Building Fortunes Radio. Tune in often and listen to Jim. Visit buildingfortunesradio.com. Click on the Citizens for Health radio show link to learn more and hear our archived radio shows. Thanks for listening to Citizens for Health Radio, and now back to our show.
And you can certainly hear those previous radio shows. If you go back to buildingfortunesradio.com/citizens, you can pick any one of those, and there's wonderful topics explained by Jim Turner And even though they were older radio shows, the messages are timeless. Just like the book, you know, the stuff that James Gormley was writing a little bit earlier about or describing a little bit earlier about is basically repeated all the time, maybe with just different names. So the lessons that you learn and the history is, obviously the history hasn't changed. He's got his own website, jamesgormley.com. Gormley is the harder word to spell. So James is easy. Gormley is GormleyGormley.com. So if you go to jamesgormley.com, you'll be able to learn more about James himself. And James, is that where people can buy the book, or where do people buy this book?
Yeah, they can go to jamesgormley.com, and that's fine. Or they can just go to Amazon and look up Health at Gunpoint. If they do that, they're able to either get the audio book or digital version, or you know, the Kindle edition, the Kindle edition, or the print edition. So they have that option if you go to Amazon.
Sweet. Excellent. Okay, good. Just a couple of points that I just want to ask. The FDA is, you know, in full power doing the things that they do, and admittedly, no government agency is all bad. They do a lot of great stuff. We're probably alive and healthy today. Do a lot of the really good stuff that the FDA does. But it appears that there's a power struggle, maybe because of who funds the FDA or who runs the FDA. But, like, there's people like Amos Miller, and I don't know if you've heard of the Amos Miller thing, but he's an Amish guy, and he makes unpasteurized milk products, and the FDA basically shut his business down because he's making unauthorized, quote-unquote, big air quotes here, unpasteurized milk products. And by the way, those unpasteurized milk products have probably been made for, you know, 100, 200, maybe even a few thousand years. I don't know. Cows have been around for a while.
I would say 10,000 years, Peter.
Yeah, about 10,000 years. So So although there might be some issues with unpasteurized, meaning maybe they're handled the wrong way, there's a lot of really great things that happen when people use products in their natural form. And I follow a YouTuber, his name is Viva Fry, doesn't matter. He's got a guy named Barnes, who's an attorney, and this attorney gentleman, Barnes, is going after or helping defend this Amos Miller guy. But tell me your thoughts.
Yeah.
And it might be your personal thoughts. It may not be Citizens for Health thoughts. But realistically, if a consenting adult wants to buy a product, and if it's something natural, like came out of a cow, whether it's the cheese, the milk, the butter, the margarine, whatever they might be making from this product, I would think they should be able to buy the product with whatever warning comes along with it. But they should have the opportunity to at least buy it. And I don't know what your thoughts on that. So if you're familiar with the Amos Miller story, you can comment on that specifically. But if you're not, just talk about the whole concept of, you know, buying natural products.
Yeah. Well, I'm not familiar with that particular story, although I am going to familiarize myself with it. But I will say, from a personal standpoint, I have had and do occasionally purchase raw milk. In fact, there's one place not far from me that produces raw buffalo milk, and it's actually delicious. It's delicious. So, I mean, raw unpasteurized milk, from my experience, tastes delicious, and I feel that because it's not pasteurized, this is my feeling. This is not a scientific statement, but my feeling is that pasteurization with the heat that's involved in that, et cetera, I would hazard a guess that many of the natural components, including enzymes and other components of milk, I'm sure are destroyed or rendered useless. So that takes away the health benefits of many of the health benefits of the milk. And yeah, I think, you know, in many cases, these milk products, raw milk products, they're sort of like sold like in the back of somebody's truck and, you know, looking around to see if there's a FDA inspector floating around. But it's but basically a lot of these milk products are come from farms that are either organic or sustainably managed. So yes, I think absolutely consumers should look into raw milk products and do their research on it. But I will say that just don't listen to the Washington Post article on it or statements by the FDA, because they have a real animus towards natural growers and natural farmers and some of the products, some of the wonderful products that they produce, including raw unpasteurized milk.
There are some, as I was learning this stuff, there are some people that they brought up to Washington, D.C. to testify in or on behalf of Amos. And they basically said, listen, you know, my health is deteriorating because I don't have these natural products. Like, these are the only things that help my digestive system. These are the only things that help my immune system. And you're denying me my good health as a result of denying me a natural product comes from a natural animal. And it's crazy. So as I was researching this, I think Amos put together a website called farmmatch.com. So if you go to farmmatch.com, this is a place for you to find food that might be grown locally wherever you might be. So if I'm here in Florida, go to farmmatch.com, type in my zip code. It'll give me all the organic farmers or all the different things, kind of matching up the farmers in the local market. So for those people that are finding it hard to find real food, like, I don't know what percentage is fraudulent on the label organic, but I can tell you it's probably pretty big. And in essence, if you're paying extra money for organic at your grocery store and you're not really getting organic, you're wasting your money. And for a lot of people, they're really searching out for really good food. So if you go to farmmatch.com, you might be able to find that. And I found this as just a result of listening to some of the stuff that was going on with a pen and paper handy. So when somebody mentions a website in passing, I write that down. So for those people that are listening in, make sure you check out jamesgormley.com, because he's got a cool stuff on his website. Citizens.org has a ton of cool stuff on their website. And in the process of looking around, you'll probably find some other stuff as well. So having said that, there was another thing that just happened, and I'll get your comment on this because it just happened. Ivermectin, as we have all heard, is horse paste, you know, based on the FDA and all the celebrities that were on television. Like, how can you take a horse dewormer and kill COVID? That's not going to work. It's for animals, they said, the FDA being the biggest microphone out there with credibility. And so, and because, and I'll let you correct everything I'm going to say next, because to get emergency use on the COVID vaccine, there could not have been any other solution. So therefore, things like ivermectin, who the inventor of ivermectin won the Nobel Prize, and it's been used in countries all over the world because it's inexpensive, and has worked to kill COVID, because of the idea that you can't have any possible solution if you're going to get emergency use on warp speed vaccines, they banned ivermectin and anybody that was doing research or anybody that was promoting or endorsing or anything with the ivermectin name in it. People lost their jobs, their licenses, their livelihoods, and maybe even their lives because of the suppression of ivermectin. Well, some of those doctors sued, and those doctors just won. So the FDA has to retract all of those social media posts where they said ivermectin is horse paste, ivermectin is a horse dewormer, ivermectin doesn't work. They have to retract all of those things. And unfortunately, the damage has been done. But at least for many of us who have followed the research, we found that the FDA was a powerful tool used by the government to push the vaccines, which may or may not have either helped or saved or killed millions of people. So I'll let you comment on the FDA and that, although it's just a, I think it's like a this week breaking story, so not everybody might have heard about it.
Yeah, it's that's really an interesting case and disturbing as well. Yeah, I think the lawsuit was filed by Drs. Apter, Bowden, and Merrick back a couple of years ago. And as you mentioned, what really just came out is the FDA settled the lawsuit. But as you also said correctly, yeah, the damage has been done. There is evidence that it can do a number of things in terms of tackling tropical diseases, river blindness, and, you know, obviously if there was some research showing that it could be effective against COVID, then why not allow it? And I think Joe Rogan is quite popular. He took it.
Absolutely.
And he, you know, it helped him. He took a couple of different medications, including that, and it helped him. And he's a big proponent of it, and he has a, you know, a big you know, platform. So, yeah, that is – I agree. There's a complete dichotomy or a hypocrisy in terms of the FDA fast-tracking these dangerous vaccines that aren't really necessarily true vaccines. They're more like these, I don't know, like genetic modifying stealth drugs. And, yeah, but then there's something else that has promise. I mean, look, yeah, I know horses and humans aren't the same, but we are mammals. So, you know, one might say that, you know, yeah, dosages would be different in a horse versus a human, but, you know, I don't think it's that far out to say that, hey, maybe there's an opportunity here. Let's look at, you know, let's do a small pilot study, or let's try it out on few people are willing to try it and see what happens and see if they're, you know, they're aware of the risks, but give them an opportunity to try a different approach.
Yeah, and the reality is it's used in other sections of the world regularly. So if it was a harmful product, there'd be people dying all over the place. So
That's
it's true. Been
and
used by...
Yep. Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah, you have the WHO, the World Health Organization, and the FDA, both coming down on this, and the World Health Organization supposedly is so interested in global health and helping so-called third world countries and people, you know, in reference to health, in reference to all of those areas. But even the WHO, which are very well aware of how it's being used in other countries, but they got on that bandwagon as well.
If I'm not mistaken, and I will admit I might be wrong, Donald Trump, I think, either he wanted to defund the U.S. involvement in the WHO or he did, because he looked at it a long time ago when he was president and said, this is a big scam. Like, why are we funding these guys? We're going to stop. So I don't know if he did or wanted to, but I've looked at some of the stuff the WHO is planning on doing. They're, they're a crazy bunch. Like, they are a crazy bunch. They want to take over the world.
They are a crazy bunch. In fact, I had a chance to I attended Codex Alimentarius meetings in Paris and Rome in 2005. So that's underneath the FAO, Food and Agriculture Organization, FAO and WHO, which is sort of like underneath both of those and codexes. And that was very interesting because that was the time when there was all of these threats against or global dangers in terms of to access to dietary supplements, because you had two separate things going on around the same time. You had the European Food Supplements Directive, which is an EU, I don't know what you want to call it, a crazy European law or a platform of laws and regulations and guidance. And then you have the FAO, WHO, Codex Alimentarius, which, you know, provides guidance. But the thing with the European Food Supplements Directive was that they were basically coming out with these annexes or sort of like lists, basically, of approved ingredients for dietary supplements. And I think and I actually worked on about 20, 21 applications to different health ministries around the world to get two different ingredients added to the Annex 2 of the European Food Supplements Directive. I think it was, as I recall, it was zinc picolinate and chromium picolinate. And working with a partner in London, you know, we were able to get that done. So that's good, but the downside is that you had to play that game of getting, like, It's a pre-approval. It's you know, for something that's been in the food supply for years. You know, I mean, zinc and chromium. I mean, it's certainly been it's been in foods forever since the dawn of time. So anyway, so that's an interesting aside. But in terms of the WHO.
Great stuff. Well, we are out of time. And if you do look your, you know, go do your Google searches. I know Donald Trump tried to pull out from the WHO, but Donald Trump tried a lot of things and was always, you know, pushed back on based on the quote-unquote establishment. So I don't know if we ever did, but I guess we didn't. I'm guessing. I'm not sure. All I know is all the headlines talk about Donald Trump taking the first step towards removing us from the WHO. All good stuff. So having said that, we're done with our radio show. If you go back to jamesgormley.com, click on the books link, and the first book that you'll see is the one that we referenced here, Health at Gunpoint, the FDA's Silent War Against Health Freedom. He's even got a YouTube clip there, too, so you'll be able to see him talk about the book as well. And if you go back to citizens.org, you'll be able to see all the cool things that Citizens does. And, James, I'll let you wrap it up.
Well, it's just always a pleasure. You know, it's just the bad thing is we have all of these bad things going on, but the good thing is that we have a chance to shine a light on not that everything is bad, but we have a chance to shine a light on different issues, different problems, different things that are bad, different things that are good in terms of health and natural health and our access to those products and information about those products.
Excellent. Okay, good. We're going to catch everybody next week if we're going to be live. Otherwise, we'll do a replay. For those people that celebrate Easter, happy Easter. For those people that celebrate whatever other holiday might be hitting around this time, happy holidays, and we're going to catch everybody next week. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
You've been listening to the Citizens for Health radio show, brought to you by Citizens for Health on buildingfortunesradio.com with Jim Turner and Peter Mingles. Thanks for listening. For nearly two decades, Citizens for Health has been a nonprofit pioneer in the natural health freedom movement. Go to www.citizens.org to learn more and always listen in to Building Fortunes Radio, where our special host, Jim Turner, shares crucial information about many of the most important issues that affect your world. Citizens for Health provides over 100,000 supporters with consumer news, action alerts, and opportunities to take action. So listen in, get involved, and help spread the word. Be sure to check out the buildingfortunesradio.com website to hear more Citizens for Health segments with Jim Turner and Peter Mingle, and read about what's new on www.citizens.org. It's been our privilege to have you listen in. Jim Turner, Peter, and I want to say thanks for listening and ask you to go spread the word, tell a friend, join our newsletter, and go make a difference in your world.